Hi, punks. Going to school, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you play fish hooky and come fishing with us?
Yeah, boy. They're sure biting.
Get thee behind me, Satan, and don't push.
Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Now Jesus went to the desert 40 nights and 40 days. When he got tired and hungry, to his father he would pray. But the devil came to Jesus, said, if you want to be fed, why don't you turn these big old worthless stones to bread?
Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Then the devil, he took Jesus to the temple up on top. And he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off of this molten rock. For the scripture says that angels will slow your falling down. And they'll gently put your feet back on the ground.
Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Ooh. Then the devil he took Jesus to a mountaintop to show him all the cities and the nations and the kingdoms here below. And the devil, he told Jesus, you can have all that you see if you will just bow down and worship me.
Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said,
he said, don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hello and welcome to this is an official Godcast. Thank God it's Friday. My name is Ron Johnston. I'm here with DJ and Duncan McGregor. And tonight, giving their testimonies, our special guests, Pastor Tim Mullett and Harrison Carrick. First, let's welcome in DJ. Ladies first. DJ, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing real good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How'd you like that eclipse this week?
It was pretty cool. The best part about it was while we were watching it, a bald eagle flew over. It was really cool.
That was perfect. And we're all still here, I see.
And we're all still here.
So it wasn't a rapture sign or anything else. All the conspiracy theorists were wrong. We're all still here and we're all still on Earth. Amazing, right?
I'm going to look for the tomorrow. I hear it takes 24 hours.
Say that again. I didn't hear you. Say that again, Deb.
I said I'm going to look for the zombies tomorrow. I hear it.
Yeah, look out your front window. If anybody's eating a cat, you know it's on.
That's why I've got my closet lemurs. Throw them out the door, look out the window.
And Duncan, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, go ahead, Deb. Oh, yeah. That was an absolutely beautiful
day. I think my internet's not working right, so I'm going to.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day here. I woke up this morning, like, early so I can get my lawn mowed before the eclipse happened, and they were seeding the skies, like, right off the bat. And apparently they were doing that in every state, just planes flying all everywhere, and it was just hazy. So by the time we got the eclipse here, because we were 95% totality right where we were, it was underneath all the clouds and the haze. So we got the darkness, we got the weird little shadows, but we didn't get to actually see the eclipse very well.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, you can get on social media and see all the pictures.
Everywhere.
The good news is you're young enough. You're going to make it to 2045. 21 years from now, we'll see the same one.
Let's hope so. Actually, I'll be honest with you. I hope I'm in heaven by then, but.
I hope we're all in heaven by then to celebrate.
Or at least let's hope Biden's not in office any longer.
I see you got your Dallas Stars jersey on.
Yeah, I have to support the team. They're in the playoff or about to head into the playoffs right now. So this is the only time that I even watch it any longer, but I still have a bunch of friends that play on the team. So I'll support them until they're all gone.
All right, brother. Good luck on that.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to the nitty gritty. Let's welcome our guest. This is the Bible Bashed podcast. If you guys haven't heard it, you've got to check it out. And if nothing else, please just jump on YouTube and find them, Bible Bash Podcast, just to listen to their disclaimer. You guys are hilarious, man. And I was telling Tim Mullet Harrison before you got here, I said, that was my moment. That was my, you've got me at your disclaimer. I was all in after I heard that disclaimer. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. The only bad thing was it went by so fast. I had to listen to it like 10 times before I got it all in totality, and it was worth every moment of it.
That's We got a little carried away on that one.
You guys got a great sense of humor, and I love a sense of humor. And so thank you so much, guys, for being here. Duncan, before we start out, would you lead us in prayer to make this right?
Oh, it'd be my absolute pleasure. Everybody, please bow your heads.
Awesome.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for another day. Thank you for giving us all the blessings in the world, even though we don't deserve them, dear Lord. You've been here for us throughout. You're with us through the worst of our lives, and you're here through the best. And Father, my life was nothing without you, as all of ours weren't, dear Lord. And we become better every single day, and it's all because of you. So I ask, Father, during these times, as things get a little chaotic, you just remove the fear, remove the stress and the anxiety from all of our lives, dear Lord. Let us focus on one thing, and that is serving you. Father, let us not get wound up in the deception and the distraction that's going on, dear Lord. Let us just keep our eyes and our feet in heaven during this time and just try to better ourselves every day and try to help one soul find that narrow path which you are on, dear Lord. We aren't the ones that can give them salvation, but we can lead them to the one that can, and that is you. So, Father, thank you for answering all the prayers that you have answered. Thank you for being there for all the people that are sick, going through stress, going through financial problems, and just answering everybody that reaches out to you. And I see the miracles every single day. Father, I ask during this time that you give us all great patience, the same patience that you had with all of us when we were in our worst times, dear Lord. We need to not judge those people that are seeking you, dear Lord, but be there with open arms to hug them, to help them, to bear those fruits, dear Lord, so that they can see you within us, dear Lord. It's not through the words that we say, it's through the actions that we do. And dear Lord, just thank you for loving us all enough to let us be exactly where we are right now today. Thank you for the beautiful people that are right here on this show, and just continue to bless them and let these testimonies that are given today reach out to those that may need to hear these testimonies. As we've learned, Father, one of the most powerful things other than prayer that we have are the testimonies and the stories of our past that are just examples to other people to see that they can get through these times as we did. Dear Lord, we love you with all of our hearts, and we thank you for everything that you've given us, the things that we can see, those things that we can't see and just take for granted. Dear Lord, you bless us in everything that you do, and thank you for another day. And if you so bless us with another day tomorrow, let us step up and make every second count in your heavenly name. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Duncan.
My pleasure.
Tim, Harrison, just a couple of questions before you guys get started. How do you guys know each other? How did you guys meet?
Harrison, you want to tell?
Yeah. So we met as a part of a church plant. Tim's brother, Marcus Mullett, he wanted to plant a church about, I knew his brother, his older brother, Marcus, first, okay. And he wanted to go and plant. We were at a church, our previous church, and he wanted to go and plant a church about probably like, 15 minutes south of where we were at the time, in a small town, a small college town, liberal arts college town. And, at the same time he was wanting to do that, Tim was looking at leaving the place that he was currently at. And so we all just sort of converged together. And that was, so the first time I met Tim, was essentially as a part of this church plant. And it's funny because at first I wasn't sure how well we were going to get along. I don't know if I ever told you that, Tim, but
this is news to me.
I wasn't sure how it was going to go. And, thankfully it's worked out fairly well, but at first I was kind of questioning things, but the nice thing is that, being a part of a church plant and being on a staff together, even though I'm not a pastor, but I am working for the church. And so I got to spend a lot of time around Tim. And so, I would just ask him all these questions, and, he was just gracious enough to take the time to, answer them for me and sort of walk me through things that I didn't necessarily understand. Him and Marcus both were both very gracious and, generous with their time with all of that. But that's essentially how we met, is through the church plant itself.
Very nice. So what state are you guys in?
We're in Alabama.
Okay. Very good.
So we're like 40 minutes south of Birmingham.
Nice. Beautiful. And for our listeners, can you please tell us everywhere that they can find you on social media? I know I'm following you on Facebook and also on YouTube, but where else are you guys at?
Yeah, so we're on, Facebook, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. We're on there. I would say we're probably, aside from just posting the podcast episodes, in terms of other media that we're posting, Twitter's probably our most active social media site that we're on, just because for whatever reason, that seems to be where we got the most engagement. But then, yeah, you can find us on YouTube, on Gab,
Rumble,
Rumble, Patreon. We have a Patreon too. And then, in terms of the actual podcast, there's YouTube and Rumble, but then there's also, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much any podcast platform that you can think of, we're probably on it. If you just type in Bible Bashed, you'll find us. There's also, if you type in Bible Bashed there, I think there's another, podcast that also pops up. That's like a Bible Bashers, I think. Yeah, they're Bible Bashers, and they're pretty much, I think they're like the opposite of what we are. So don't click on them. Click on.
They're anti-Bible bashed.
Yeah, they're like the, we want to bash the Bible. We're like the, we want to bash people with the Bible.
And your podcast is all about going over the questions that nobody wants to ask, or those questions that people are afraid to ask. If I could just read off just a couple of them. This one's great. Is, should you congratulate an unwed expecting mother? That was 3 days ago. This one was interesting. Is it time for a more nuanced view of cannibalism? Can a wife divorce a husband if he transitions? I mean, these are all great topics. I love them, man. And your eyebrows raise up and you're like, I got to listen to that one, Oh my gosh. And, is it simple to wear a bikini at a public pool? So again, these are all those biblical questions that people are afraid to ask. And, Tim, you get right into the scripture, to prove your point every time, which is what I really love. And it's not your opinion. It's what the Bible says. And that's what's important in today's world. It's so many people have their opinions about the Bible, but our opinions don't matter. No.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. So we got covered where we can find you. Let's get into your testimonies. Which one of you guys want to start first?
I can go.
Making volunteers, Tim.
Yeah. I don't mind.
Tim, I love your sense of humor, man. I can't wait.
How long should I shoot for on this?
You can go for as long as you want. Right. Average people go about 20-40 minutes. You know, sometimes people have a script written down. Most of the time it's just led by the spirit. So, you know, whatever you want to cover is what someone needs to hear out there is usually how it works.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. I guess I think I was legitimately saved in my early college years. And, you know, thinking about it now, I guess that's been a couple of decades ago now. And so it's difficult to know where the time has went, but, you know, so
I'm assuming it was a secular college then.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, essentially I started out college at UAB to pursue a career in optometry, essentially, because they have one of the best optometry schools in the nation there. But then, you know, midway through that degree, I ended up changing my path or whatever. But then, yeah, I guess, you know, normally when I'm trying to share my testimony, I start out a little bit earlier than that. And, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents were faithful to bring us to church. And, you know, I probably, you know, when I was young, I was somewhat of a inquisitive person, and that gives rise to a lot of what we do in the podcast, meaning I had a lot of questions about the Bible, about life, about, you know, marriage, things like that. I was a thinker. So, I mean, I grew up having a ton of questions, and normally I'd ask people, I'd nag them, but they didn't really have a whole lot of answers. And so that was a little bit frustrating to me. But then, I grew up in a Christian home, and, you know, I was one of those kids who, I mean, when I was pretty young, I probably asked Jesus into my heart maybe 1,000 times or something along those lines. I mean, I remember being very concerned for a long period of time about my eternal destiny. And, you know, I mean, just being a kid who grew up in Awanas and everything else, I knew the Bible verses. I knew the Romans road to salvation. You know, I knew all that. But then there was something about my life that just felt wrong. There was something, I just had this sense that I was missing something, and I didn't really know what it was. And I remember, I often tell the story when people ask me about my testimony, but I went to this camp at some point. I think I was probably at that point around maybe 12 years old, 13 years old. But I went to this camp, and, you know, it's a standard youth camp where they put a lot of pressure on you to make a decision at a certain point. And our camp counselor at the beginning of that, he talked to all of us and basically said, you know, at the very beginning, if any of you are unsure of where you're going when you die, you know, come and talk to me about it. And I didn't really want to do that because I knew how that conversation would go. And I've had those kind of conversations before. And so I was pretty turned off about it at that point. But then over the course of the camp, I started feeling increasingly concerned and convicted about, you know, where I was going at that point. And, but I knew that I kind of knew how these conversations go with youth pastors and camp leaders and everything else. And I didn't want to do it, but then I didn't have any peace in my soul about what was going to happen with it. But, you know, towards the end of the camp, they did their altar call thing. They did all that. And I know how this is going to go. I don't want to do it, but I don't want to keep on, you know, being awake all night, not knowing what's going to happen. Maybe they can help me out, but I just don't think they will be able to. But anyways, I walked forward, and I mean, it was interesting because I walked forward at this camp meeting and I talked to the guys on at front, and they asked me, you know, why I came up. And I said, well, I really, you know, I feel like I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved and I'm missing something, but I'm concerned about how this conversation is going to go. So, you know, I was kind of like, I'm a 13-year-old kid, and I'm just looking at them like, and I just told them, I was like, this is how this conversation is going to go. You see, like I'm not a Christian, and I don't know how to become one, but I know all the verses you're going to tell me. And what's going to happen is I'm going to explain, you know, these verses I know. And then you're going to look at me and you're going to tell me you think I'm a Christian, that this is just Satan causing me to doubt. but I'm not. Like, there's something I'm missing here. There's something I don't understand, and I don't know what it is. And then you're going to tell me basically that I am, and, you know, I just need to quit worrying about it. And that's going to be really frustrating for me. And so basically I told him all the verses, you know, Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9, all that, you know, by grace you're saved through faith. I was like, I know that we're saved by grace through faith. I know that God died for us. I know that salvation is a free gift. I know there's nothing I can do to earn it. I know that I'm saved by grace through faith. I know all this stuff, but there's something missing, and I don't know what it is. And then they kind of looked at me at that point, and they're like, "Well, you're right. Like, this, we do think you're saved, and we do think that this is devil, like the devil, trying to make you doubt your salvation." And so then they, you know, they prayed at me in front of the camp as a new convert or whatever that they had gotten. And then I went back to the camp. Yeah, I went back to my camp at some point, and the counselor that was with, like, you know, in the room with us or whatever, the watch main counselor, he took that opportunity to basically tell me how disappointed he was in me that I didn't come to talk to him about it. So here I am. I'm like a kid. I'm a kid who's just sitting here thinking, I'm missing something here. I don't know what it is. And like, I know that how this is going to go. They're going to do the same thing they're going to do. And then I, you know, not only did I become a new convert, I was a new number for them, but then with no assurance whatsoever. But then, you know, I disappointed my counselor by walking forward to apparently get saved and not letting him be the one to write my name in his book or whatever, whatever he's going to do about it. But that, for me, that was a bit of a turning point. You know, that was a turning point for me as a young kid, because I went away from that encounter. Basically, just, I was like, I'm not thinking about this anymore. I'm not gonna, like, I'm done thinking about this. I'm not, like, I'm just gonna push, like, I'm literally gonna harden my heart. I mean, what I was doing, I was like, from that point on, it's like, I'm hardening all my heart towards any kind of conviction that I might feel, because I sincerely don't want to do that again, you know. Because it wasn't helpful, right? So there was something I was missing, and I didn't really know what it was. And that kind of was my posture from that point on to the rest of, like, middle school, high school, everything else, to where I just, from that point on, I just kind of stopped caring about the Bible, stopped caring about whether or not I'm a Christian. I just did whatever I want, you know, at that point. And I think it, basically, I just walked my own path. And, you know, midway through college, I'm kind of realizing that I'm coming to the end of myself. I'm having, like, a prodigal son kind of moment, to where I've just lived for myself, and there, like, I'm realizing that this road is just ending in heartache and pain and depression and anxiety. I mean, during that time in my life, I would go to the doctor and be persuaded that there's something wrong with me. Like, I must be sick. There must be something wrong with me. Like, I'm sick. I don't feel good all the time, you know, and the doctor just kind of looked at me and it's like, "Hey, you know, medical tests say there's nothing wrong with you. You know, are you depressed?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm depressed." And he's like, "Well, that's it. You know, you have depression and all that." And wanted to put me on some pills, and it's like, "Nah, I mean, not going to do that." But, you know, I mean, at that point, there was a turning point. There was some point where I was just kind of looking in the mirror and thinking about my life and thinking, man, I don't like the person that I am. And, like, just like chucking the Bible, not caring, like hardening my heart. I've been hardening my heart for the past, you know, 9 years at this point of my life, just doing, like, just pursuing whatever sin with whatever I want, with all I have, you know, with no concern for what's going to become of that. And I, you know, I kind of, at that point, I was involved in a relationship that I thought was going to end in marriage, and it just kind of fell apart. And I think that there was a point in my life where it's just like, at that point, I was almost agnostic, you know, like, about, not quite agnostic, but about to turn into an agnostic kind of person. I basically concluded that, like, prayer was useless and pointless, because God's just kind of a deistic God who is, you know, up there watching, but he's not going to do anything about anything. And he doesn't care, you know, and he doesn't, he's limited in his ability to really change circumstances. And so, I mean, I think at that point I was just thinking, I either need to just end it all, you know, not that I had like really serious thoughts about suicide or something like that, but I just thought I either need to just give up and end it all because I'm tired of it, or I need to go read the Bible and figure out what God has to say here. You know, so there's a bit of a turning point in my life. It's like I've tried to find answers to all my problems, yeah, everywhere else but the Bible. And I say I'm a Christian. I say I believe in God. I say that, even though I'm not living like it. I'm living like the world, the flesh, and the devil. But like there was a point in my life where it's just like the desire, I don't really know how to describe it other than I'm running away from God as fast as I can. And at some point, it's like he picks me up and turns me around. And it's like, the prayer of my heart was like, Lord, help me to figure out what this book says and obey it. You know, that was the prayer that I had in my heart at that point. And it wasn't necessarily me rehearsing all the verses I know about salvation being by grace through faith. And that justification is a free gift of God that's imputed to us, where we receive, you know, Christ's righteousness as a free gift. I knew all that. I knew the Bible said that much. But I think there is a, like, my problem was I had lived my whole life basically wanting all the benefits of the gospel, but none of the demands of Christ. So I didn't want him to be Lord. I just wanted to basically get fire insurance. I wanted to know that I could not have to worry about going to hell anymore, so long as, and but then also like keep my sin, right? So and that's basically what I was missing as a young kid, is the notion that there's like Christians repent, right? They actually repent of their sin by God's grace through his help, through the power of the Spirit and everything else. And so there was like what I wanted. I just wanted like free grace with a free pass to sin, basically. And so, but I remember like at that point in my life, there was, for some reason, there was this commitment that I need to know God. Like, and I need to know, like, everyone's talking about who Jesus is. I need to know who Jesus is. I don't know anything about him. I know some verses in the Bible that I grew up mentioning, but I really just like if God's word, like I've tried life my own way, but God's given us a revelation. He hasn't left us in the dark. He's given us the scriptures. We aren't meant to be confused. So I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him, and I'm just going to follow him, you know. And I know that I can't do that on my own. I need his help. But I'm just there. I came to this point in my life where it's just like, I'm done doing it on my own. I repent of my sin. I've made a mess of everything. I need you to change me. I need you to change my life, save me, make me a different person, you know. So I mean, I came to that point, and I mean, you know, it's interesting because the first thing I did at that point was I just kind of read the New Testament over and over again. So I think in a period of maybe, you know, a week and a half or something like that, I read through the New Testament four times in a row. And what I realized is, it's like, oh man, this really isn't all that hard to understand. It's just I'm bone ignorant about what it says, right? And so, I mean, at that point, that kind of like started a passion for reading the Bible in large chunks and knowing what God says. And like there was a desire that was renewed in my heart at that point, just to, like, I need to know God, like I need to know his word, because I grew up as a kid with a bunch of questions that no one really had answers to. And so God has given us answers in his word, and I didn't find out what they are, you know? And so at that point right around that time, I was involved. The first thing I did was I said, I'm going to start reading the Bible. And like step two in my mind was, I need to obey whatever I know. You know, I don't really know a whole lot about what's in here right now, but I'm just going to do what God says. Yeah, I'm tired of fighting things I know. So I guess I just need to go to church. It's like, well, I don't know what a good church is, but I'm just going to go to one, you know? And at that point, my brothers were going to a church. Anyway, it wasn't the best church in the world, but I just thought I just need to be faithful and just go and do whatever I know to do, you know, at this point, because I'm tired of living in sin. And so I started going there, but the more I read the Bible, the more I started finding myself frustrated with what I was hearing week in and week out, because it was just, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the best kind of place, but it was somewhere to go. But, you know, at that point, as I'm reading the Bible, I'm realizing that everything I'm seeing, like, I don't think anyone else is seeing around me. And it was interesting because my younger brother kind of embarked on the same journey with me right around that same time. And so we were doing, like, we were determined to figure out how to study the Bible on our own. You know, we didn't have any help or anything else. We just started Bible study. We're going to figure this out, and then went from there. But our aunt, essentially, they were pretty solid Christians at that point, and we didn't know the difference early on in our life. But they had given him some sermons from John MacArthur, and so they gave him, he has a Resolve conference for college kids or whatever, so she had given that to my brother, and he ended up listening to him. He's like, "Hey, Tim, you know, you need to listen to this, because this sounds exactly like a lot of the stuff that you're saying, you know, right now." And I'm afraid, you know, his comment to me was, "You know, I'm afraid to give it to you, because if I give these to you, then I think we're probably going to have to leave where we're at and find a better place to go or whatever." And so that was his comment, you know. And so I read it, and, you know, MacArthur, he had a sermon on the priority, the authority, the sufficiency, and the clarity of Scripture. And I mean, during this period of time, I mean, it was full postmodernism, you know, truth is relative. We can't understand the Bible, like, the Bible's not clear, you know, who knows what it's saying and everything else. And, you know, that's, we were hearing on church and all this. And, you know, he had this message, and I mean, I remember it to this day. I mean, it was a significant impact in my life. But yeah, it was a message on the priority, the authority, the sufficiency, and predominantly the clarity of Scripture. And at that point, it was just like, I ended up getting the MacArthur Study Bible. I didn't know that such a thing even existed, and I started reading through that, and I was like, yeah, man, this is everything this guy's saying, that's what I'm saying. And, you know, that's what I'm seeing, but then, like, no one around me sees this stuff, you know? And like I said, it was kind of hard to put myself back in that world. But I mean, during that time, I mean, there wasn't like a big internet presence of Christians online or anything like that. I mean, the internet barely started at that point. I mean, we're probably still on AOL chat. AOL Instant Messenger or whatever, you know. So I mean, there wasn't like the resources that people have today. During that time, it's pretty like you're isolated, you're alone, there's no connection points, you know, you don't even know where to look to find a community of people like you. But I mean, at that point in my life, I had really just come to the conviction that I wanted to help people, like, who were going through a lot of the same kind of stuff I was going through, because I had seen, like, the Bible has real answers to these things. You know, I'm no longer like filled with anxiety, depression, despair, hopelessness, guilt, shame, condemnation, all that. I had found the answers to those things. And so I wanted to pursue biblical counseling. I don't want to pursue psychology-based counseling. I wanted to pursue Bible-based counseling, because I knew that the Bible was sufficient to answer those kind of questions. And, you know, so I ended up going to master's college out there at MacArthur School. And I can't really explain the sense of peace that you know, a person might feel when they feel like they feel so isolated and alone with their convictions. And you realize that there's just a bunch of people who believe the Bible and saying all the same stuff. And, you know, that was just my first encounter with the real Christians. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, they're the only real Christians. I'm just saying that was my first encounter with people who actually took the Bible seriously and wanted to follow it, you know. And they didn't just, like, apologize for all the tough passages and, you know, embarrassed about it or whatever, and, like, attempted to ignore it. Like, that was just my first exposure to real Christians who really believed the Bible, took it seriously, had strong convictions. And, you know, after that, I finished my undergrad there. I got a BA in Bible. Then decided to go to seminary, because, you know, I thought I just kind of wanted to be a Lone Ranger counselor or something like that. But I went out there and I got an ecclesiology, a doctrine of the church. I realized that the church's role in shepherding people, and really my desire was to be a pastor. That's what my desire was to be. And so I realized that SBTS had a MDiv that I could pursue, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with counseling emphasis. And so that was kind of the next step for me. I went from there to Louisville and got my degree over there. And, I guess towards the end of that, I did 2 years of seminary, and then I did an internship. And during that time, I got married and started the process of kids and all that. And then I finished my last year of seminary. But then it's been, interesting since then. We have 5 kids at this point, and been involved in ministry for the past 15 plus years, and so God's really blessed us and changed our life and turned us around. And anyone who knows both of us, would me and my wife would just be like, man, you guys are different. And there's only God to thank for that. It's amazing. If he wasn't merciful and gracious to us, to think about all the different ways our life and trajectory could have gone. But it's definitely sobering to think about the fact that God can save anyone. He doesn't need us. He decided to have mercy on us, and we're grateful for it for sure.
I love the story. I love the story as a child where you're just searching. You're searching, and the whole time he's just carrying you along.
Amen.
And I've said this so many times to so many other people. I had a child, and we had went through, my ex and I went through a divorce, and the kids took it really hard. And I had so many people telling me, man, the kid needs counseling, And I kept saying, he doesn't need counseling, man. He just needs some more scripture. He just needs to get involved in this, in the church. He needs to get into scripture. And this book's got the answers to everything. It's the answers to life are right here in this book. This book is so marvelous. And 3 years later, you would never know this kid had any problems in the past. He's just done a 180, and he's done it because he did just what you did. He dug his nose in that Bible. And I want to encourage everyone that's listening, please, the answers are there. Get yourself into a Bible study. So many people have made that turn when they've dug themselves into that book. You're a great example of that. Delivered you from everything that you ever had issues with and problems with. It's amazing. I love it, man. I love it. Love your story.
I do too. I think what touched me is you were just a kid, and you knew that something wasn't right. You knew that there was something more, something deeper. And like you said, that you were like a number and chalk it up. But you knew it was a heart issue, a heart health, and you surrendered. And now look at you. It's a great testimony.
It is.
Thank you.
It is an amazing story. When I was younger, I had something similar to where I went to counseling, and my counselor was talking about God and was, putting anointing oils. Like, she was trying to lead me the wrong way. And all I did was scoff at it. And I felt uncomfortable. I felt like I didn't need to be here. Today I wish I knew who that woman was so I could go back and apologize and be like, you were literally trying to lead me where I needed to be. The counseling I needed was spiritual. It wasn't psychological. And that it makes a huge difference in your life once you figure it out.
Yeah.
And the gospel was missing. You knew all the Bible verses, but you didn't understand the gospel. Like you said, first of all, amazing that you went through the gospel 4 times in a week and a half. I can see the books behind you. You're obviously well read.
It's quite the passion there. Yeah. you were searching. You found it. He found you.
Yeah, amen.
It's terrific. Beautiful.
Thank you, Tim.
Yep. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys for letting me share.
Harrison, did you hear this guy's testimony before? Have you heard this one before?
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard it, you know, in shorter and longer forms I guess, Tim, we've known each other, what, 5 years now? About.
Sounds about right. Like, yeah. That. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've heard the various, you know, length versions of it. But it's funny because, in some ways, I mean, we don't have the same testimony, obviously, but then there are a lot of similarities between Tim's and mine, and so I can go ahead and share it unless you wanted. There's something else you wanted to say about Tim's before we moved on.
Oh, please, Harrison, go ahead.
So my testimony, you know, I can't say that I grew up in church, but probably from like a middle school age on, I was in church. My parents didn't really go very often, but I probably at the end of the day didn't really have like a very good motivation for going to church every week, but it was just where the majority of my friends were. And so I figured, well, if all my friends are there, I might as well go there too and at least spend time with them. And you know, I feel like this is probably the place I need to be anyway. And so I started attending, you know, one of the local churches where everyone I knew went. And, you know, I knew the basics of the Bible. I mean, we live in the South, and so it's pretty hard to not know the basics of the Bible. And so I had a basic understanding of like the gospel specifically, but then, you know, I didn't feel like I was necessarily a Christian when I was first going. And so, you know, so over the course of a few years I was going and at a certain point, probably around the beginning of high school, maybe a little earlier than that, I felt like, hey, I know what the gospel is. You know, I know that Jesus was God, you know, he's God. He came, he took on human flesh, lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the grave on the third day, and now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, glorified by the Father. I know all that. And I believe that's true. You know, I mean, there's people out there who still to this day, they dispute that. And I think that's true. I think Jesus was a real person. I think he really did all the things that he said he did. I think he really was everything that he claimed he was. And, you know, I believe that he's accomplished all of that. No, there's not really a doubt in my mind, actually, that he hasn't done it, any of that stuff. And so I believed all that. And I remember meeting with one of the, with the youth pastor that was there at the time. And we sat down and it was sort of like this. I remember it was like a day that he had set aside basically to say, hey, anyone who has questions about the Bible, about, you know, salvation, about like where you are spiritually as an individual, you know, I'm setting aside this day, come and talk to me in my office. And so I remember I wanted to go to that. I think it was after, you know, a Sunday morning service. And so I was already there. So I figured, well, why don't I just stay and I'll just talk through all this stuff with him and just kind of see where am I? Because I want to, you know, I believe all this is true. I want to go to heaven. So let's just nail it all down once and for all. And so I remember going in there and talking to the youth pastor, and, you know, he asked me a bunch of questions. Hey, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And, you know, for me, the answer was yes, yes, yes. I believe, you know, yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Yes, I believe Jesus was God. Yes, I believe he rose from the grave on the third day. I believe all that stuff. And so, you know, I want to be careful because I don't remember if he ever asked me about my own sin at all. You know, the church that I was going to at the time, I mean, you know, I think that would be something that would generally come up, especially from the pastors on staff there. I don't think that's something that they would skirt around at all, But I just don't remember, honestly, if that ever came up or not. But I want to think the best and assume that it did, and I'm just forgetting it. So either way, you know, essentially by the end of the conversation, you know, the youth pastor is like, well, I don't, you know, based off of everything you're telling me, I don't know what to say other than it sounds like God saved you. It sounds like you're a Christian. You know, there's no red flags. There's nothing that it seems like you really have any questions about or you have any doubts about. But you know, this is the first time that, you know, that I was really vocalizing all of those things and had someone sort of walk me through, you know, everything that you needed to know, everything that you needed to believe, everything that you needed to confess. And so from there, we scheduled a day where, we went out to one of the local rivers, and they're baptizing a bunch of people from the church. And I was one of those people. And so they baptized me, and then, you know, from then on, I thought, okay, well, I'm a Christian now. I've performed the first step of obedience in Christ and getting baptized, proclaiming that Christ is Lord. So I'm good now. And so I go through the rest of high school thinking I'm good. And then I ship off to college. I went to the University of Alabama for nursing. And once I got to college, that was where things really started to fall apart for me. The cracks were already there. They had made themselves apparent, and I had ignored all of them, unfortunately. And there were people in my life who recognized that those cracks were there. And they told me those cracks were there, and I ignored them anyway, because I really enjoyed a lot of the things that I was pursuing, a lot of the you know, essentially like the desires of the flesh that I was pursuing, and not really telling anyone at my church that I was pursuing them. And so once I shipped off to college, and you know, you don't have parents there watching over you anymore. You don't you really have a lot more freedom than you've probably ever had in your entire life. At least that was my experience. I didn't have incredibly overbearing parents, but you know, I had parents that cared about me enough to know, hey, where are you? You know, you've got to come home at this time. You know, I had parents who cared about me in that way. And so once I was at college, it was just like, well, I can do essentially whatever I want now. And I did. I spent the first 2 years of college pretty much just, I mean, I still went to church most of the time, but, and I was a part of it was like a Bible study group, but then it was a little more involved than that. I mean, we would get like dinners together and whatnot. And so we were involved in each other's lives outside of just, you know, a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night, which was nice. I appreciated that. And it was led by some seniors at the university that attended this church. And so I joined that, and, you know, I was relatively involved in that for a little while. I went to service most of the time, but then, you know, outside of Sunday morning, outside of Wednesday night, I was a totally different person, basically, where I was just pursuing anything and everything that I wanted. And none of it was biblical. None of it was righteous. It was all just, you know, worldly stuff, basically. And so I pursued satisfaction in, you know, relationships, whether they be the friendships that I had. I felt like I always, if there was a party going on, I felt like I needed to be there. Or I was missing out on something, and I was really sad that, you know, something was going on and I wasn't there to be a part of it. I pursued a lot of, you know, relationships with women, and, you know, everything that entails. You know, I was addicted to pornography. So I just spent, you know, 2 years, 2.5 years pursuing all this stuff, pursuing my education, thinking that, you know, if I could get as many friends as possible, if I could, you know, find the girl or girls, you know, that would make me happy, you know, to be in a relationship with them. If I could finish my education and get a good job to make a lot of money, once I do those things, then I'll be happy. Because I wasn't happy, but I thought once I got those things, I'll be happy. And so I remember the end of my sophomore year, that spring semester, I was in a dorm that I had shared with someone and he had moved out. So I was alone. And I just remember I had pretty much everything I wanted. You know, I had tons of friends, friends that cared about me way more than I ever cared about them. I had no business, you know, even getting to be their friend. They're so great to me. And I think I was a pretty selfish person to them a lot of times. So I had the friendships. I had the relationships with women. You know, I had gotten as much of that as I wanted. You know, I was doing well in school, and I was more miserable than when I started school. I mean, from the moment I got all that freedom, it was like my happiness and my joy just went down and down and down and down further and further. And I remember that the second half of my sophomore year, I just spent the majority of time of my free time just lying in bed. And I wouldn't hardly eat, you know, I wouldn't take care of myself. I hardly ever showered unless I absolutely had to. I stopped doing schoolwork a lot of the time. I stopped studying for tests and whatnot because it just felt like it was all pointless. And so I went home that summer and I got a job working in North Dakota for the summer, working in the oil fields up there. And that made things even worse, honestly. I was already extremely, you know, sad. You know, I don't necessarily want to say I was depressed, because it was a relatively short amount of time. I mean, it was about half a year. So I don't know if I want to say necessarily I was depressed, but I was extremely sad all the time, to the point of like, I wouldn't do anything. And so then I had to go work in North Dakota. And I don't know if you know this, but North Dakota is an extremely empty place. There's not a lot going on up there, where at least where I was at. And so I get this job. I'm working up there. It's pretty much like you wake up at 4 a.m. You work for 12 to 16 hours a day. You get home. You've got just enough time to eat dinner, take a shower, and then go to sleep, and then wake up and do it all again the next day. And so I do that for 2 months. With no stopping. I don't go home at all. And by the end of it, I was bored out of my mind. I was even more sad than before, because all my friends all summer, they got to hang out with each other. They got to see each other, do everything they wanted to do. And I was up there just working by myself, basically. And so I finally come home and I'm just a total mess. It feels like nothing's going right. And so I decide, you know, like whatever I was doing at college is just not working. I need to stop. I need to go home. And so I dropped out. One of my high school friends, who I knew from the church that I originally went to back home, she heard that I was back in town for good for a little while. And so she asked me, she was like, "Hey, why don't you just come back to church then?" And I think she asked that for a few weeks. And finally I was like, "All right, you know, yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good to see everybody. And you know, it'll be good to be back in a familiar place." And so I go back and I find out that since I've been gone, they added a young adults ministry, like a college young adults ministry. They didn't have that. At least I don't think they had that when I was there in middle school and high school, but it was there when I came back from college. And so I figured I might as well go, you know, I'll at least get to meet a bunch of people my age and sort of get reacclimated to my hometown again. And so I go And I meet the guy running all of it. Pastor Marcus, who's Tim's brother, like I mentioned earlier. So I get to talking to him, and you know, we hit it off pretty well, right away. So towards the end of my visit there, he just asked me if I wanted to go get lunch with him one day. And I figured, well, I've just gotten back in town. I don't really have a whole lot going on. I guess I might as well. What else am I going to do with my time? So I go and I get lunch with him, and we're just talking, getting to know each other some. You know, we're talking about the Bible. He's asking me, like, hey, are you a Christian? He's trying to figure out, where am I at spiritually? And I just, the thing that I remember the most is, so we meet the one time, it goes well. And so, you know, he asked me if I want to meet up again for lunch one day next week. And I say, yeah. And so we spend the next few weeks, getting lunches together, talking. And the thing, there's not any one moment that necessarily stands out above all the rest from all those meetings, all those lunches that we got. But the thing that I remember the most, more than anything, is just every time we met to talk and we were talking about the Bible, I just remember, Marcus would bring up something about the Bible, some passage, and it's like, hey, well, it seemed, like the Bible, here the Bible says this. I mean, that seems like a pretty straightforward command to do this, and every single time I was like, I would just think, well, yeah, that is pretty simple. How did I never see that before? How did I not? I mean, it's just right there. How did I not? It's not like this is the first time I've seen this. I mean, most of the Bible verses that we read, it's like, yeah, I knew that was in there. But then for whatever reason, it was just the first time that it felt like I actually understood what it meant. And I just remember, time after time after time, having that feeling of like, well, yeah, how did I never recognize that this is obviously what the Bible is saying right here? I mean, it's just so plain and so clear. So when it comes to my salvation specifically, I remember thinking over the course of those few weeks, I don't have like a specific moment where I'm like, this is the moment when I was truly saved. Within that span of a couple weeks meeting with Marcus, there's not like the, on this day at this time, that's when I became a Christian. It was more just like somewhere in that span of time, I realized, I realized that I knew up to this point, I knew everything that I needed to know to be saved. The problem was just, I didn't believe everything that I knew, if that makes any sense. So, the Bible in Romans 10, tells us that we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead on the third day, right? And so I totally believed that was true, that Jesus, he was everything that he said he was, and he still is today. I believed that. The problem was, I didn't believe that enough to actually confess with my mouth that he was Lord. And so up to that point, all those years throughout middle school, high school, college, I had spent all my time living as though I was Lord of my life, pursuing everything that I wanted to pursue, chasing after everything that would make me happy. Finally, after years of doing that and getting nowhere, still being more miserable than when I started, really, I realized, hey, I'm just like, yeah, I know all this stuff, but then nothing has changed in me as a person. I thought I repented, but obviously I haven't. I'm still doing all the same. I'm still pursuing all the same things. And, how can I with any sort of integrity claim that Jesus is the Lord of my life and then look back on all the things that I've pursued you know, I mean, like nothing about my life looks like Christ, really. I just know all the right things to say. And so that was kind of the, you know, I was having that realization over the course of a few weeks. And eventually I was just like, man, you know, I've just got to give up all this stuff that I've been pursuing. Not that I think the Bible teaches us like, hey, you, if you want to be saved, you know, you've got to be a good person. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches us, but I don't think that's what I was doing either. I think I was just finally realizing that I had never truly repented. And I think it was in those weeks that God was granting me that repentance. He was granting me true saving faith, not the demonic kind of faith that, you know, hey, the demons know that Jesus is the Son of God. The demons know everything there is to know in order to be saved, but they're not saved. They're not going to heaven. Well, what is the difference? Well, they don't follow Jesus. They follow the devil. They follow Satan. And they rebel against the kingdom of heaven at every turn. And so, you know, for years I had that demonic kind of faith. Like I know who Jesus is, but I'm still rebelling against him. And, you know, and with the help of, you know, Marcus and obviously, you know, by the grace of God, was literally, you know, opening my spiritual eyes, giving me understanding, helping me to realize the gravity of my situation at that point. And so I, you know, that was the moment where I finally started repenting of all that stuff. And, you know, I, at that point, I can confidently say that I truly did put my faith in Christ and what he did on the cross. And because of what he did on the cross, you know, I knew that it had to be his way or the highway. Yeah, you know, at that point, like, he's got to be Lord. I've already tried being Lord. I'm a miserable Lord. I'm a failure of a Lord. Why don't I just let Jesus be Lord and I'll just do what he says, even if I don't always understand, you know, why he says everything that he says all the time. I'll just commit myself to trying to understand and trying to live obediently in order to honor him, not in order to earn anything for myself. And so from that point, I started serving in the church a lot more. I wanted to serve the church. Over the course of the next year, 2 years, maybe, I started coming to grips with, I felt like I wanted to do more in the church. And so Marcus started talking to me about taking on like leadership roles in the church. And I started going to school as well to get my degree in pastoral ministry. And then we set out to do the church plant together, and that's where I met Tim. And this isn't necessarily a part of my testimony in the sense of like, here's how I came to salvation, this next part, but I thought it might be good to mention just given the nature of our podcast. I think once I met Tim, I kind of had that was probably probably the next big sort of step in my faith. The first one was obviously my genuine salvation, where I realized I'm still living in sin. I haven't come to terms with the fact that Jesus is Lord. I need to confess that he's Lord and live like it. That was the first one, obviously. The second one was probably when I started feeling the desire to take on more leadership roles in the church, where, you know, Marcus was talking me through that, encouraging me to go to school. The third one was probably when I met Tim, because up to that point, I sort of had this understanding that as Christians, we need to be the exceedingly, I guess for lack of a better word, we need to be the exceedingly nice people. You know, like, there's a lot of people out there who, there's sort of like a tongue-in-cheek joke within the Southern Baptist Convention, which is a, what our church was a part of, our my original church at the time, there's sort of a tongue-in-cheek joke that, you know, there's an 11th commandment, and the 11th commandment is thou shalt be nice, no matter, you know, right? And so that's kind of how I lived. And I remember meeting Tim, and he would just kind of just say things. I would ask him questions, and then he would just answer them, and he didn't really care how the answer sounded. He just cared about, was the answer right and was it true? And what I mean is, he, not like he was a jerk or he was like mean to me or anything. That's not what I mean. In fact, more what I mean is just, he would, you know, let me give you an example. There's a lot of people out there who, when they teach on any sort of verse that has to do with, are women allowed in leadership roles within the church? Are they allowed to be pastors within the church? There's a lot of people who would say, no, they're not. But before they say, no, they're not, they're going to have endless apologies and endless right. qualifications and all these things. And then Tim would just be like, no, they're not. And that's just it. You know, like there's no qualification. There's no, like, let me try and dress this up to
sugarcoat it. I love that. Don't sugarcoat it, man. Just tell, right. Just give it to me.
Right. And so I was getting around him a lot more, getting that from him. And then he was pointing me to guys like Doug Wilson. I already knew about John MacArthur, but, you know, I think he showed me Doug Wilson, and he showed me the guys at Apologia. Out in, I guess, Arizona. I can't remember which state they're in, but he showed me a bunch of their stuff. And I remember watching this one lecture that Doug Wilson gave. It was called Sexual by Design. It was a lecture that he gave at a call. I'm assuming it's a college near where his church is located in Idaho. But I don't know for sure. But either way, he's giving this lecture, and it's called Sexual by Design, where he's basically laying out the biblical sexual ethic for all of these students. And so you have all these students that are there, and there's, you know, probably about half of them are there to genuinely learn and hear what he has to say, you know, about what God has said about marriage, you know, sex, all of these things. And then you have probably the other half, maybe one third of the group that was just there to, I mean, just derail the event, essentially. And so I'm sitting here listening to this, and there's people just screaming their heads off. And then he's like refusing to sugarcoat anything he's saying. He's just laying it all out there. And I remember watching that and thinking, man, maybe I don't just have to like endlessly apologize for everything that the Bible says that the world hates. And, you know, maybe I'm not the crazy one here, because like when someone disagrees with me, I'm not screaming my head off. They're the ones screaming their head off. Why are they doing that? You know? And I watched a debate between Jeff Durbin and James White. They were debating some atheists, and the atheists, I mean, it wasn't even a debate, because the atheists were just so emotional and screaming their heads. I mean, they were literally, one of them was acting, I mean, he was probably, he looked like he was 55, 60 years old, and he was acting like a petulant child. It was frankly embarrassing. I mean, I kind of felt bad for atheists out there who could probably have done a better job than he did. But I just remember seeing those things and thinking, man, maybe I don't have to, yeah, maybe I just don't have to, like, I mean, I don't, like, something needs to be said about, like, we can't be jerks, obviously, but then, like, it's not, I thought being a jerk meant, hey, whenever you talk about those Bible verses, you know, about marriages between one man and one woman, you need to apologize for it, essentially, is how I felt about those things. And after seeing some of these guys, and then seeing Tim, and seeing the way that, you know, Marcus, the way that they spoke about things, I was like, man, maybe I just need to just say them and not apologize and not be ashamed of it. And if people are going to hate me for that, then, you know, that's their problem. I mean, one of the things we say on the podcast is we have people comment all the time and they're like, on any given topic that we might talk about, there'll always be someone who's like, do you really want to die on this hill? And, you know, our default response is, well, I don't know. I mean, do you really want to kill me on this hill? You know, and I think that's just kind of summary of the position that I've kind of come to now is obviously, like, we don't need to be jerks. We don't need to be, you know, needlessly rude to people. But then at the same time, like I mean, Jesus just wasn't some free love hippie either. I mean, imagine like Christians today seeing Jesus make a whip and driving people out of the temple. He doesn't have any sort of, hey, let's all sit down and have a cup of coffee and, you know, you tell me.
There's no kumbaya moment there.
Yeah, there's nothing like that. It's just, he's given it to them, mm-hmm. you know, with no apology. I mean, think about the way that he interacts with the Pharisees. Like, it is not nice the way that he does it. But that doesn't mean he's wrong. You know, that means that we're wrong somewhere if we think that he's doing something wrong. And so that was sort of the, you know, obviously that's not a part of my salvific testimony, but then that is a part of my testimony in terms of where am I at now, you know? And I do think that that's part of my passion for the podcast in general is just, you know, there were people who came along and showed me that being a Christian and being someone who is loving towards other, who cares for his neighbor, doesn't always mean that you're nice all the time. And it, you know, Christians ought not to be ashamed of God's word, of the gospel. And, you know, looking back, I think there were a lot of things I was probably ashamed of in the Bible in general. And I was, you know, I was blessed enough. God, you know, God showed me examples of men that I think are doing a as good a job as any of how to be loving, how to be, you know, how to know when they need to be gentle and when they need to be hard, you know, and so part of my passion for the podcast and I think Tim's too is like, how do we help Christians find that balance and, you know, and figure out how to not be ashamed of all these things. So that's my testimony. I think that's just about everything, honestly.
I think you guys are doing a great job on the podcast and I love your style. You know, the Bible it's offensive. It's divisive.
Right.
You know, but it's meant to be, you know, and right. I often tell people, you know, just like the laws that are written today, I didn't write them and I'm just following them. And that's the way the Bible is. No, it's not my opinion. You know, don't get upset with me. I'm just telling you what the book says.
Right.
Yeah. And I have a hard time myself sugarcoating stuff. I've offended and I've upset many people because I just don't know how to do that. Look you right in the eyes and tell you, you know, and I'm sorry if it's offensive and but I love your story. I relate to it so much. From the very beginning, just going to church because that was the place to go. You know, I've said it a couple times on our podcast is that I went because there was girls there and my skateboard buddies went there. that was just the place to go. It was cool to hang out. But I love when you made that change. You realized that you were talking the talk, but you weren't walking the walk.
Right.
And then it was when you repented, when you truly repented and your heart changed, because you can't be saved without that change of heart and you can't be saved without repenting. And no, you can't be saved unless you confess that Jesus is Lord, confess it with your mouth.
you and Tim hit it both, man. 10:9 is Romans 10:9 is that's our verse here on the Godcast. That's what it's all about. Right. And you guys both touched on it. Thank you. I'd love to see you guys do a podcast on what you just discussed, what you had just mentioned. You know, should women be preaching?
I think we've.
Did you do that?
I'm trying to think about.
I haven't seen it.
A specific episode. I feel like we must have, but I'd have to go back and look because there's nothing immediately coming to mind.
Yeah,
in terms of a specific episode that I could point you.
You know,
to.
You've been doing a lot of podcasts and you can't remember everything you've covered.
Well, it's been a few years now that we've been doing it, and so you end up covering a lot of things, and then there's some things that you covered once, and then it's been like a year and a half, and you see people are talking about it again, and you're like, well, I guess we need to do it again, you know?
And you learn stuff too. That's the brilliant. Earlier you had said something about, you know, my salvation testimony and then your testimony as today. And even as Christians, like we keep growing, we keep understanding, we keep learning, and we may see something different in a year that we didn't catch last time we had read a certain book or a certain verse.
Right.
And, you know, plus, the conversations you have with people and other people say, you know, tell you how they perceive. And you're like, I didn't see it that way. You know, so we're constantly growing as Christians as well. Every time we get in the scripture.
Right. Yeah. Sanctification. I mean, God, you know, God is working through the Holy Spirit inside every person who has been saved, who's been, you know, called by the Father, who's been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know, we're being sanctified all the time. Not by our strength alone, obviously. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. But yeah, it's what you're saying. It's, you know, once you become a Christian, it's not like you're instantly perfect. You know, I can attest to the fact that, you know, in my own life, I was not made instantly perfect. You know, we will be one day. The Bible says we'll be glorified in heaven. We won't even desire sin anymore. But you know. This life after salvation is all about killing sin, and that takes time. And so we're always being sanctified. Yeah, we're always learning more about the Bible. The Bible says that we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another, and all that is sanctification, like you're saying.
Amen. That was a great testimony. You know. It's one thing is that people don't realize, because I see a lot of people that are sometimes embarrassed to talk about the past, embarrassed to talk about their testimonies. The thing is, though, that is the past. And we're moving on from that, but we can't forget it for two reasons. A, our stories are powerful in helping other people, but also we need to remember our past so that we don't jump on other people. One of the reasons it took me so long to come to Jesus wasn't Jesus. It was Christians. The people that I ran into in church that made me feel so judged, like I didn't belong here, so I left.
Right. Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing is there's actually been, you know, obviously everything that happened in my testimony, that none of that's meant to be like a, hey, look at how good of a person I am, you know, like, look at all these things that I did. It's meant to say like, hey, look at how merciful God is. I mean, you know, I spent all those years claiming to be a Christian, and I wasn't at the end of the day. And the really great thing is, you know, while that was wrong on my part, God has taken that, and now I get to use that to share with other people. And the great thing is, there's been people that I've met who they, you know, they thought they were a Christian, the same as I did. And then I asked them I say, hey, look, for me, this is what happened. I thought I was a Christian. And then years later, I realized I wasn't pursuing anything that was even remotely Christian, that was even remotely like what the Bible said a Christian should look like. When you look at your own life, do you feel like you are, do you feel like you look like what the Bible describes a saved person? Or do you think that you might be deceived in your salvation? And, you know, there obviously there's been people who they don't have the same story as me. And so they are truly Christian. But then there's other people that I've talked to that are like, you know what, maybe I've never really thought about it like that before. I've never thought about demonic salvation versus true saving faith. You know, when I look at my own life, there's nothing about it that looks like what Christ described it would look like. And so God has used my testimony to help others see that they're in the same or a similar situation. And so, you know, and by God's grace, by his mercy, they get to work through the same things. And then eventually, you know, there's been some that have come to salvation having faith, you know, essentially in the same situation that I used to be in.
Amen.
So yeah, definitely the testimonies, while they involve us doing a lot of wrong, the great thing is God takes those and he turns them around and they become a weapon for good.
Amen.
Basically.
Well said. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I like how you said God granted you another chance at repentance, you know, his grace. And I also appreciate the fact that, you know, truth is offensive sometimes, and you don't have to be, like you say, you don't have to be a jerk to get the point across or to get the truth out there. You know, you shouldn't have to apologize for the truth, and it just is what it is, and it's God's word, and you know, you don't have to apologize for it. But I've heard many people do that, and it can be bold but with love.
On the
repentance thing, it's pretty amazing, because I mean just think about the amount of something that I think about sometimes is, think about God's mercy versus our version of mercy, right? And so we think we're really merciful if we forgive someone, you know, two or three times on the same transgression. Like if they do it a few different times, we think we're a great person if we forgive them a handful of times. But then God is like, you know, I sinned against him every day for years and years and years, and I was lying about who I was, and God didn't strike me down and smite me there, even though I if he had, I would have had no like recourse against him.
I'd be like, I had that coming.
Yeah, like that's what I deserve. You know, I had no right. I mean, the moment that I sinned the first time, I had no right to live anymore. And you know, God was merciful and patient with me. And then eventually he worked in my heart and he opened my eyes to the truth of scriptures. You know, he called me out of darkness into light, and he granted me repentance. And I finally started turning away from all those things, you know, through his power, through his enablement, you know. And so it's not anything that I did at all. It everything God did on my behalf. And, you know, with the sugarcoating stuff too. Yeah, obviously, you know, we can all tend to be jerks sometimes. And I'm not claiming that I'm perfect and when to be gentle and when to be hard. And, you know, I'm always trying to be as good as I can with that. But then, you know, I think for so long I was just so gentle all the time that, you know, I genuinely thought that if someone was ever upset with anything that I said, it must have been that I did something wrong. When Jesus, I mean, he just tells us that, you know, the world will hate you. Why? Because they hated me. They hate the dark, or they love the darkness. They hate the light. And Jesus is light of the world. You know, and so if we're coming as ambassadors in his name, carrying his message, well, then, yeah, they're going to hate us. But it's really not even us that they hate. It's Jesus that they hate. Mm-hmm. It's the truth that they hate. And so, yeah, we can't be jerks. But then at the same time, we just can't. I mean, if you're trying to dance around it and soften the message all the time, then, I mean, you're just going to end up either being like beat down into submission where you just never say anything, or you're just going to start feeling frustrated and just give up entirely and go back to living in the world, you know, and And I didn't think either of those were really good options. And I saw that there were people out there who weren't sugarcoating it all the time, and they were doing it well in ways that made sense. And it was the other people that were being totally insane and crazy. And at that point I was just like, there's no way they can be right with the way that they're acting, you know? So that was definitely a helpful moment for me. And I hope I can help more people get there.
Well, some people get angry when they get convicted in their heart.
I do. Yeah. Even I do, you know, and I'm sure we all do at different times. I mean, there's still times where we hate getting called out on your sins. Not fun. It's not like something you enjoy. You
gotta take it to the Lord every time, you know?
Right.
And, yeah.
It's like my brother Jeff says all the time. He's like, I'm scolding you because I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to come to heaven with us, you know? So, and he's got a point, because I have a tendency of being too sweet and too kind. I need to take the way I get politically and start moving that over into Christianity, because we don't know when the time coming. We don't know when we're going home. That could be tomorrow. It can be a year from now. And, you know, at this point, you know, we're kind of running up against the clock as far as I'm concerned. We should all feel that way, you know, because like I said, yesterday was the best day to get saved. Today, that'll work too, but tomorrow may be too late.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the thing that I always tell people is like, look, telling people the truth is the most loving thing you can do. Yeah. I mean, like, imagine being in a burning building and telling everyone there's no issue. You know, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing. We don't need to escape. You know, I mean, like that's not loving at all. I mean, tell people the truth. If you're in a burning building and it's going down, you better tell everyone to get out. And if you don't, then how can you claim that you love them? I mean, how do you claim that you love someone if you're not willing to risk everything, including the relationship with that person, to tell them the truth? I don't feel like I could, with any amount of integrity, say that I genuinely love that person if I can't tell them the truth.
Yeah, well said.
Thank you, Harrison. That was beautiful. I appreciate you guys both being here tonight. Listeners, that was the Bible Bashed podcast. And that was Tim Mullett and Harrison Carrig. Please follow them on Facebook, on YouTube, on wherever you can find them. They're on X. They're out there. Both beautiful testimonies. Both of these guys noticed that there was just something missing. And I think a lot of us have felt that way in our past. You know, we feel this void in our heart, and some of us will fill it with drugs or alcohol, the passions of the world, money, women. And both these guys just felt that void in their heart, and nothing will ever fill that void like Jesus does. And if you haven't made that decision yet today, if you haven't decided to trust in Jesus, do that. Make that decision today. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's the greatest guarantee in life. It's not everyone who calls might be or could be. It's will be. So make that decision today. Deb, do you want to close us out in prayer?
I sure will.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Father God, for being with us today. Thank you for everything that you do. And Lord, thank you for these wonderful testimonies that we got to hear tonight. what a blessing it is going to be to so many people who hear this, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that we have these stories to share with others so that they can come to find you, Lord, through these testimonies and just through people like Harrison and Pastor Tim that want to get the truth out there about you, your love. You're just beautiful, Jesus, and I just want to thank you for everything that you do, Lord, and please bless us going forward and put us out there, Lord. Use us, send us. We're ready to go. Just want to thank you for everything. Thank you for the blood you shed on the cross. Thank you for loving us, for forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Without you, we're nothing. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. And I just ask that you would bless us, Lord. And let us bless your name. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. All right. Harrison Carrig and Tim Mullett, the Bible Bash podcast. Check them out. Guys, thank you once again for joining us. It certainly was a pleasure. We've all learned lots, and we can't wait to hear what you guys do next. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Pleasure's
ours. Thank you so much.
God bless you both.
Thanks, and you as well.
Thank you.
All right, my dearest friends, let us not forget we are here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So please find that person you love who doesn't know God and tell them your testimony. Do it today.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag